Hopefully it's not a love TKO when it comes to him playing for the team in 2016. He doesn't want that love to be knocked out. It's important to you to play at Metrodome, TCF Bank Stadium, and U.S. Bank Stadium.
Yeah, no, it is. It'd be kind of a cool feather in the cap to be able to do that. Obviously, be one of the few players that played in those three stadiums. You know, I think the biggest thing is, you know, I took a page out of Kleinsaucer's book by obviously playing my whole career in one spot. You know, Kleinsaucer played here for 13 years, and he made a point to want to be loyal to the organization and somewhere close to where he grew up and now that he lives and resides. And, you know, I had the same mentality.
So if I'm the Vikings and I got 3.5, maybe 4, which could be high, but, like, I'm the Cleveland Browns and I got 9.
I don't like your negotiation right now. You keep saying it's high.
I'm the Browns.
You don't even know.
I'm the Browns, man. I got 9.
Yeah.
Okay, which, let's say.
Why'd you pick Cleveland?
Well, because that's the bit. So say the Vikings up 4.5 or 5.
San Diego.
Okay, and I got 10. Just, why do you got 10? I'm at the end of my career because you fit perfectly for what I want to do.
Right.
And I'm trying to clean this thing up post-Johnny Manziel.
10?
And Josh Gordon. I need you, man.
10?
I got 8.5.
Oh, that's a hard number to even talk about.
I got 8.5. What's up, man? Are you?
I'm gonna do everything I can do to stay in the state of Minnesota and play football. That's my goal.
There we go. So
that's
so good.
That's the only answer I can give you.
So diplomatic, so good.
And you can't be on the Wobcast if you play for the Browns.
That was exactly right. I can't see Wobby's
right
forehead every day if I go to the Browns.
It'd be disappointing, wouldn't it?
I could watch it though and kind of get the glimpse.
Yeah.
It would be, you know.
I'd rather have you never watch it or listen to it and play for us.
It sounds good.
Okay.
To me. I'm with you.
Yeah. How are those?
Excellent.
They look
okay,
great.
Good. Okay.
You're supposed to carry him on that bit right there while he's finishing the cheese curd.
I want to eat the cheese curds.
So. Well, go ahead. You touched on Anthony Barr at the end of last segment.
Yeah.
And you said, quote, already could be elite when you were talking about certain players. What leads you to thinking that after just 2 years?
Well, I think, you know, we've all seen his natural ability and the things he can just do with, you know, especially big plays. I mean, he makes, you know, huge plays. He's probably not going to be a guy who's going to get you 150 or 200 tackles, but he might be make that game-changing play, you know, i.e. Atlanta or the pick against Denver to kind of put you in a better position before the half. I mean, he makes big-time plays. And to be a linebacker in this league and his ability to do multiple things well kind of, you know, make him a for sure game-changer. I think the thing about that Anthony needs to learn is that everyday approach that it's going to take every day because everybody's a good player in the NFL. And he has the chance to be elite, but he's got to work for it every day. Not that he's lazy because he's not.
Yeah.
But he's got to take that workman-like mentality every day to practice, every day in the film room, and just keep grinding for a full season. You know, but his talent is, I mean, it's unbelievable.
You know, watching the Super Bowl, did you watch the game?
Yes.
All right.
Yep.
I mean, you know, watching a defense play as Denver's did and kind of neutralize an offense that was the number one offense in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of had to appreciate that, didn't you?
For sure, yeah.
You know?
I liked watching the game. I thought it was a great Super Bowl to watch. I thought the way Denver controlled the game was unbelievable. And really, the way Carolina played on defense was really got overlooked because how good Denver was. But, you know, Carolina played unbelievable defense as well. I just think, you know, obviously those edge rushers, their ability to match man-to-man on the outside and just lock guys down, control the middle of the field because Greg Olsen didn't go off like everybody thought he would. They just controlled the game. And, you know, Von Miller, you know, made himself a few bucks on that day. And, I mean, you know, when you have elite players like that that play big time in those games, you lock down the outside, your offense scores a few points. It's a brand of winning.
With the exception of one season, you know, you've had to deal with Aaron Rodgers your whole career.
Right.
You know, playing at the level he's playing at. And really, I mean, Jay Cutler and Matthew Stafford, they're nothing, you know, to look sideways at.
Right, exactly.
I mean,
they're rolling, they're tough to
stop. They've been productive,
too.
So, you know, over the course of your career, what are quarterbacks like that, passing games like that, not your defense specifically, but in general in the league, the passing games and the way the quarterbacks play now, how does it stress a defense with the pass?
Oh, it's so difficult, I mean, to stop all, especially when you have a team that has just multiple weapons, you know, inside, outside, can hurt you different ways. And you know, Green Bay with the running game is a completely different offense than Green Bay who can't run the football, and we've seen that. So just, you know, speaking of them because they're a rival, and you brought up Aaron, I mean, the reality is he's an elite player. I mean, and when he's got all of his weapons, he's almost impossible to stop.
Yeah.
But you have to control. You have to be really good in the red zone. You have to limit the touchdowns, make them field goals. You know, if you can get a couple takeaways, it's huge. It's just small things within the game that you can control, even elite offense like that. But it's about being good in those situations. Are you good in 2 minute or are you good on third down? If you're good in those situations, they can get all the yards they want, but you can limit the points, which at the end of the day is all that matters.
Can you focus on getting more takeaways, or is that a product of playing defense the right way? Because you guys were really good as a defense, scoring defense, red zone, third down, very good.
Yep.
But, you know, takeaways, you had some games with a bunch of them and some games. I mean, so can you control that?
It's a little bit of a myth, I think. I mean, it's hard to go out there and say, okay, we're going to focus on getting more takeaways because that's always your focus. Your focus is always to go out there and get as many as you can to control the game and get the ball back to your offense. But the reality is if you're playing tight coverage, you're going to have more tip balls. More tip balls lead to more, you know, interception opportunities. You know, it's very rare you're going to jump in front of a route and pick it and take it to the house in this league because the quarterbacks are too good. But if you're playing tight coverage, if you have a bunch of ball hawkers around the ball ripping at it, I mean, that's where you know, good stuff happens. So it's more about how hard are you running the football? Is the whole team doing it? And when you get there, you know, are you ripping? Are you raking? Are you trying to get the ball out, you know, for fumbles? You know, and if you're playing tight coverage, you're going to get a lot of tip balls. So, I mean, that's where it comes.
A member of the audience respectfully or politely asked me to have you share memories of your pick six against the Chargers this year.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, what you remember from the play. And now that you've taken a deep breath and kind of separated yourself from the 2015, get the body right for the 2016, what do you remember about that?
I think you think back to that play, and obviously it's sort of the play. It kind of seals the game. We're kind of already in control, you know, but just the way it all kind of transpired, you know, my grandfather was in the stands for the first time in my career. That's what, you know, to me, that's what really makes it emotional.
That's awesome.
You know, to have him there after just losing my dad, you know, his son, I lost my grandmother, his wife, the same within a month of each other. So, you know, those things on a personal level with family, you get involved and you make a play like that where the ball gets tipped to you. You have 30 guys, you know, only on an 11-person team leading you to the end zone. I somehow made it the 100 yards that I ran to get there. You know, it was almost too good to be true. You know, have it happen at home in front of the home crowd. I mean, it couldn't have been better. And, you know, the response from that play has been just, it's really unbelievable how one play can really make or break, you know, a season in some ways on a personal level.
Well, when you watched it back via the coach's tape, as we call it, the All-22 in the business, what were some weird / funny parts of it that jump out at you right now?
So many things that happened in that play with Coach Zimmer getting knocked down by Coach Gray, our defensive backs coach, who blamed it on somebody else. Yeah. You know, Coach Gray's thinking, that wasn't me. What are you talking about? Clear enough, he's in the way. Ref hits him. Bowling pins, Zimmer goes down. So Zimmer didn't even see me score, I don't think, you know. But watching the sidelines, when you slow it down and rewind, I mean, there's just so many great reactions.
Yeah.
And the funny part, like,
wasn't,
you know,
Barr out of the game?
Barr was out of the game.
Yeah.
And he's running down the sidelines with me. There's great pictures
of that.
You see
the look on his face, how happy he was?
Just pumped.
He's like, look at what my dad's doing. This is awesome.
Yes. Yeah, no, it was so cool. I always find it funny, though, when, like, there's players, right? You know, Michael Pruitt, for example, I'm literally running 4 yards from him.
Yeah.
You know, he's on the sidelines. I'm running right there going this direction.
Yeah.
And he's looking at the video monitor up here.
Yeah.
And I always find it funny when players do that because it's like, it's right there.
Yeah.
Like, you have the best seat in the house.
He's like, everybody, look at my grandfather. Look how fast he can run.
Almost could be their dad.
Matt Khalil is expressionless.
Yeah.
He's like, so if I put anchovies with sausage and I have pineapple on the side.
Biology.
What do we call it? Oh, there goes Chad. 50, 40, 30, and he's gone.
He's loose.
Philip Rivers.
Then at the end of it, oh, go ahead.
Philip Rivers is just, I mean,
the anguish on his face.
His body language, and you probably couldn't see that on the All-22.
Yeah.
But one of the guys had a great slow-mo shot of it using the camera. And, I mean, Philip Rivers is just like, you know,
just
can we get out of here, please?
Can we please just get the game run out? Can we get the clock run out?
Yeah.
And I think the end. I think it was Gerald who ran into the security guard.
Yes, that's what you were going
to
bring up.
Yeah, I knew you were going to go to that because if you watch it all the way to the end, the security guard's minding his own business.
He deserves a raise.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, one of the most exciting plays in the last 10 years is taking place. And he's arms crossed, looking up into the crowd.
Scanning the crowd.
Scanning the crowd to make sure somebody doesn't jump on the field. Then if you really slow it down, like we have a million times, and you look in the first row corner of the end zone, there are a couple of Charger fans, and just negative looks on their faces. I mean, you're like, it looks like Brian Piccolo from Brian's song.
Yeah,
man. I mean, you're right next to Gale Sayers going slowly, looking over your shoulder, and there's my man in the first row like, mother, son of a. There's some guy's looking at his phone. He's like, no, I'm playing the Vikings defense in fantasy football. No. And he's freaking out.
It was a great play.
Combine next week. What do you remember from the combine?
Yeah, probably the worst 4 days of my life. I mean, it really is. It is such a grinder for the athletes coming there, for the players. I mean, you're going there, you know, it's one of the toughest job interviews you're ever going to have. It's physical. It's mental. They want to learn everything about you that they can possibly learn from a personal level. You got to rely on your college coach to give good feedback about you. You know, every skeleton in your closet's going to come out. They're going to dig and figure it out. You know, it's just a grind. And then the last day, the last thing you do is work out. So the reality is like you're exhausted from four full days, staying up late talking to teams, getting up early and doing tests. And then the last day you say, hey, let's go see how fast you can run. It's a crazy 4 days.
You know, I think speaking of Combine, I saw that there are over 1,200 media credentials issued for the Combine this year, which is a record, obviously. It's only going to keep going.
It's really unbelievable.
Isn't it? I mean, and like talking to Coach Grant about how the coverage of the game has changed, you know, obviously it's substantial.
Right.
But even with you, if you think back to 06,
think about
how it's changed, how you're covered by media.
It's crazy just the popularity in my 10 years, how it's just escalated. But not only that, it's about, you know, like look at the Pro Bowl. You know, the Pro Bowl, everybody sees it, watches it, so it's an all-star game. They're barely tackling, they're taking it easy. But look at the ratings on the Pro Bowl game.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. You know, people just cannot get enough NFL. And like you said, the credentials are going to keep going up because people follow it, people watch it. They want to see them run. They want to see what they look like. You know, it's crazy.
It bugs me when people complain about the Pro Bowl and about it not being a real football game and it's embarrassing and stuff like that. It's if you watch the Pro Bowl, you are tuning in to literally see Teddy Bridgewater and all these guys just kind of cruising around like entertainers.
Yeah.
They're entertainers. It's like watching, you know, something that involves actors or singers or entertainers.
Right.
Now, I watched five plays of it, and it kind of bugged me a little bit because they all involved Harrison Smith. And I watched a guy catch a pass in front of him where 9 out of 10 times decapitates the guy.
Yep.
He touched him down.
Yeah.
Next play, somebody catches a ball on the sidelines, and he just, like, gently pushes him out of bounds. Then the next play, Doug Martin bowls up the middle, and Harrison basically lets him in.
Yep.
And
yep.
I'm like, that's it. Let's watch a rerun of The Walking Dead.
Now you're Harrison, and you have, you know, you're come up to a contract here, and this is maybe your one shot to make money of doing what you do, and you're really good at it.
Yep.
Why would you go lay somebody out?
Why would you
take a chance at a stinger or a neck injury or something that could change the course of your life, career, financial picture? It's like, you know, I get why you want to be more competitive.
Yeah.
But there's just, as a player, you know, whether you're first year or 12th year, like, there's just not the onus to go in there and play hard and really knock somebody out. I mean, you can't do it.
Yeah. That piece of information about you gave us 35 minutes ago, we just can't thank you enough. When you said, contractually speaking, you would be offended if the Vikings didn't handle your situation before Harrison Smith and or Matt Khalil in the fifth-year option. You stick by that, right?
Oh, yeah. Did that come out of my mouth or yours?
Thanks for being honest, Matt. We really appreciate it.
I'm probably in the rear view when it comes to priority, but I'm there.
The 9 to noon approach every time we chat with him is
one more year. Give it to me. Make him feel good to lose.
Yeah. Put a smile on my face.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
God bless you.
Had a great time.
Enjoy the Polaris Winter Fest.